The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
I'm Sue. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
My name is Kate. I'm from New Jersey, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
My name is Melissa Iannetta. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
I'm Stephanie from Orlando, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Anna McCoy from Villarica, Georgia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Howdy, this is Kelly Campbell from Galveston Island, Texas, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Jessica from Memphis, Tennessee. My husband and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Seth from Southern California, and I listen to the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
Right. Thanks, Seth.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 516 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris. I didn't get to introduce you on the last show because someone just took over, but you're a darling co-host, from what I understand.
A darling.
That's what you were called.
He didn't say that. He said darling.
A darling. I know. And I wonder if my son, when he comes back from New Hampshire, is going to have like an accent from, you know, a Boston accent.
That's Boston. That's not New Hampshire.
I know, but you It'll know, it's in the area. I mean, a lot of the kids that go to school there, you know, are from Boston, the Boston
that's
area.
True.
So, you know. Maybe we got something going on here.
Yeah, you can only hope.
So, I'll give the song this time, which is "Superstition" by Stevie Wonder. That one always gets me going.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. All right,
whose glorious voice is that?
It's me, Michelle Scribner-McLean.
What are you doing here, Michelle? It's so exciting.
I'm introducing myself.
Apparently, Mike left the room. Mike just took off.
I heard a door close.
Yeah, he just left.
Right. So, hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Do you have a shout out today?
I do. I'm actually going to be giving a shout out when I find it on my phone here. Here it is. The folks who are running the Disneyland, or ran, I should say, the Disneyland weekend. And they are, I don't know where my little post went. Kimberly Torres Markey is one of them. Where are my people here? Meredith Schechter is another one. And Gretchen Inman and her husband ran. And oh my goodness.
Gail Savage.
Gail. Yeah. Oh, you're back.
Welcome back.
Never left.
Where'd you go, Mike? Okay. I don't know. It's so funny that this has disappeared. I don't know who the other ones are. So I'm sorry if I missed
John Beale. Everybody who ran. I bet John Beale was out there, I think.
John Beale ran. I don't know. But also want to give another shout out to Brian Wilson's son, who did I don't know if he actually did the 10 miler. What's Brian Wilson's son's name, Mike?
10 miler.
I'm just forgetful today. I don't know. Anyway, but everybody who ran and is running, training, shout out to all of you.
Well done.
Yeah.
You had fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the last episode, we got carried away talking about things involving Run Disney numbers, and it was supposed to be a show that we were going to have Michelle tell us again about one of her great adventures. Every summer, Michelle has a great adventure. She tries something so she can talk about it and tell our listeners a little bit about it in case they want some information before they take the plunge. And one of the plunges that Michelle took this past summer was taking a tour, and it was called Undiscovered Future World, and it took place in Epcot. And Michelle, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can tell Chris and myself and our listeners just what the Undiscovered Future World Tour was all about.
Sure. There's so many cool tours. And I had already talked about the Wild Africa Trek. And I got to hang out a little bit with my good friend Sid when I was down there. And I convinced him to do it. And he loved Wild Africa Trek, too. So that's still high on my list. But another one that I did was Undiscovered Future World. And it is, as Mike mentioned, in Epcot. It's a four-hour tour, kind of like a three-hour tour, but a four-hour tour. It's a walking tour of Epcot. And it is only $69. And I know that I got some sort of an AP, DVC, something discount. It really wasn't very expensive at all. But this tour actually starts at 8:30 in the morning. And you start off, do you know where the character spot is in the fountain? I didn't even know the whole building was named this, but I learned that the building where Starbucks is called the Fountain View mm-hmm. Building.
Yep.
I knew it was the Fountain View Restaurant, but I didn't know it was the Fountain View Building. So in the back of that building where there's a character spot, there's actually, if you go kind of behind there, there's a little podium. And I showed up for my tour all excited because I had really liked, Mike, when you and I did the Backstage Magic, that one. I knew it was going to be something similar to that. So I showed up and I was there and my guide was there. And they told me that, hey, Michelle, you're the only one on this tour today.
What?
So I had my own tour guide for the entire time. Wow. And they told me that sometimes there are 20 and sometimes there's one. And I was on one day when it was just me. So I had, I think my tour guide was Emily, and they give you complimentary water as much as you want, and we were off. And so it was very, very cool to have my own tour guide. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I see people walking around with the guest services tour guides, I think, oh, is that somebody famous? So I got to be that person for the day.
very special.
This is kind of an interesting tour because it is kind of a combination of how things work, the kind of the technology and the history too. So some of the stuff I knew, some of the stuff I didn't know, but it is a fair amount of walking, but it was all really, really super interesting. So we started off, they actually carry a satchel, and there are all sorts of fun little things in the satchel, but one thing that they carry is an iPad. So When my tour guide started to talk about Epcot, she actually had pictures of Epcot being built and pictures of Walt Disney and some of the things, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard the stories and things like that, but other things I didn't know about. So it was kind of interesting to start off that way. And we walked over towards, now I always get it confused, Mike, which is the east and which is the west side. Do you remember which side is the land on and
as you okay, you got to remember that when you actually go into Epcot, when you actually enter Epcot, I believe from the north. So if you look on, I believe that as you're going from you're leaving Spaceship Earth and you're past Spaceship Earth and you're looking at the fountain, I think Interventions West is on your, I want to say it's on your left, and I think Interventions East is on your right. I mean, what did I say? Interventions West.
No, you got it wrong. Yeah, East should be to your left, and West should be to your right.
I believe that's the way it goes, yeah.
So here's one of the things that I learned. Maybe you guys knew this. Mike, I know I already told you this, but on the west side, all of the planters and benches and things like that have a curve to them. On the east side, they have an angle to them.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting. I was like, I can't believe I never noticed that before.
Oh, man.
But yeah,
look next time.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So we walked over to the on the ground where they have the different scientists, and she, you know, on your way to the land. Have you guys seen that? No, I guess I have. But there's all sorts of scientists in a circle on the ground.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All discoveries and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, so she talked about Walt's love of science and discovery. So we talked about that for a bit. And I can't remember the exact order. I'm pretty sure the next place that we went was the Seas with Nemo and Friends. And we went up to actually, Mike, the special area where we had an MEI Mouse Fan Travel breakfast. We went up to these special cast area. It's not cast area. It's kind of like an event area up there. Mm-hmm. And she talked about that space and how the space used to be used, you know, the corporate sponsorships. And she showed me some of the different greeting areas that the corporate sponsors used to use in that area. So we sat up there for a bit and we were the only ones up there kind of just talking about the things that happen in the Seas with Nemo and Friends, the tours that you can go on. She knew a lot about the animals. So we actually talked about the sea turtles and, you know, some of the history of the space there and how it was put together. So that was kind of interesting. So we left there and then we walked over to the land, and she had me look over the top when we got there and told me that the different eating areas actually are different, the different seasons. So the restaurant downstairs is Sunshine Seasons, and so the different eating areas are actually fall, spring, winter, summer. If you look at them, you're like, oh yeah, I never noticed that before. Oh, they're different colors and they represent the different seasons. So she talked about the land a little bit too. And we actually took a little bit of a break there. So I guess they have breaks built in for the cast members too. So we took a little, like a 10 or 15 minute break, and then I rejoined her. And then we went over to behind Journey to the Imagination. And this is where I just thought this was really cool. We actually went backstage. We went out sort of the back door where Soarin' is. The ladies' room and the men's room is there. If you go straight out there, it takes you to backstage. So we walked back there. And we walked into Journey to the Imagination, and we saw the place where they actually, Chris, you're going to love this. Get ready.
Okay.
They actually sanitize every single 3D glasses in the entire park. So we got to see the mechanism, the way that they do that. And it was kind of, Mike, when we went on the backstage magic tour, the way that the laundry place, so the dirty laundry comes in, the clean laundry goes out. It was kind of like the same type of thing.
Was it that big? It wasn't that big, though, was it?
No, it wasn't that big. It looks like a gigantic, gigantic dishwasher. And they clean and sanitize, and then they have these carts that are the clean carts and the dirty carts, and they have to, you know, it takes a fair amount of organization to just get them, you know, in the right position where they need to be. But I thought it was fascinating.
So...
And it turns out, Hang on. It turns out that it's one of the rotations for people on Journey to the Imagination. It's one of their rotations doing the ride, and then they get to run the sanitizer.
So let me ask you something. So if we go to Mickey's PhilharMagic, okay? And we put on these 3D glasses. When we put them in the barrels, when we leave, those barrels go to that place to get cleaned?
They all go to Epcot, except for they were building a new one, and it hadn't been built yet. They were building a new one, and there's going to be one that is only dedicated to Pandora, to Flight of Passage. So there's a brand new one over there, but every other one in the park, the Bug Eyes in Animal Kingdom, the opera glasses of Mickey's Thriller Magic, they all go to this particular place. In fact, there is a truck that says, like, glasses. It just says glasses. And there's a parking space. And I guess if you park in that parking space, you get in trouble because that is where the glasses truck goes.
Did they say how many glasses are used?
They probably did. I don't remember. I don't remember. But there were, cool there were tons. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I was more blown away by just the machinery and things like that. So it's stuff like that. I mean, it's the reason that you go on the tour, just to see this cool stuff, just to know that that's where all the glasses are clean. So then we walked over, more history. We walked over to the other side, and we actually got to go backstage again. We walked behind Test Track. And she kind of showed me, talked to me about the history of Test Track, and she showed me that, and I actually knew this before, but most of the outside part of Test Track, you're backstage and you don't even notice it because you're growing so fast.
Right.
So she showed me that there's sort of a warning light that goes off when the attraction's supposed to break down. But I actually was staying with my friends Randy and Karen, and as I probably mentioned before, my friend Randy used to be the engineer in charge of rides at Epcot. He told me that's not the case. He said, no, that's not true. So anyway, but then we got to do one of the coolest things, which was we went back into Test Track. We went back through the back way. And she said, would you like to ride the attraction? So I got to be one of those obnoxious people who stops the line. And we were just, she and I were on a car alone. And we went on Test Track. It was awesome. So she told me there's, it's great. She told me there's an episode of the TV show Black-ish where they're at Walt Disney World and they've been waiting in line for a long time. And somebody comes in with a guest services person and cuts the line and they freak out. She said, all the guest services people love that. Love to watch that. So we did that. And then we went behind the scenes again to the cast services area, which was kind of on that side. And we got to see this huge, huge building where they have lockers. They have a cast store. They have a discounted haircut place. So if you need to get your haircut, if it doesn't meet the Disney requirements, you can get a discounted haircut. It's really interesting because the parking lot is in the back. And she said, look at the way that the colors change. So when you enter from the parking lot, it's really a drab color. And then as you're closer to getting on stage, it starts to be more vibrant and interesting. So that was kind of interesting. And so then we walked over in the same building. We walked to the costuming place and she showed me how the costumes are managed. So we spent a little bit of time in there. So every single cast member costume has an RFD tag in it. So this was actually going on at the same time that my friend Karen, who usually works for Disney Weddings, was working for the Disney Institute. So she was telling me what she had gone through, and then I actually saw it. So she had to get some shirts to help with an ongoing event at the Disney Institute. So what you do is you say, okay, I need to get Disney Institute shirts. You go over to where that is, and it says Mickey and Minnie. So for every country, for every cart, for every restaurant, there's a Mickey and a Minnie. So there's a male and a female sign, and it shows you it has a little picture of what's part of your uniform. And then it has the wear it this way and don't wear it that way. And then you take it and you just walk out with whatever you need, and it just registers you and anything that you took. So for instance, Karen had to take 4 shirts. She was doing a lot of events, and it just registered in her name 4 shirts. And then anything that you want can be washed. You just put it through, you know, the little wash hole, and then it registers it coming in. So so they know who has what costume. So my tour guide, Emily, told me that if you leave and you have not returned a jacket or something like that or a hat, they will charge you, and they charge you a lot of money for it. So you need to make sure that it gets back. But that's how they register all the costumes. So that was kind of interesting. And then huge, huge piles of raincoats, you know, just and big signs, take a raincoat. So those really nice raincoats that the cast members wear. Also part of this area was where they make the costumes for the animatronics. And so we get to see the people doing that. There's a whole gigantic wall just of buttons, just of different buttons that the different animatronics wear, and wigs and everything like that. And she showed me that there was a special kind of I don't know, like a statue or a model made for the people in costuming who worked for the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. So they had like this crystal sort of thank you model that they made for this group of people. And we saw the whole room the wigs are for the people who are face characters. So for the Belles and the Cinderellas, there's a whole room for that. We saw the room where there are hairstylists. There probably were at least five or six women in this room who styled the wigs. And they were, you know, styling the different wigs based on the different characters. And then she said to me, so how many Cinderellas are there? And I said, I don't know. And she said, the answer's one. There's one Cinderella. And she said, so you may see in here some of Cinderella or the other princesses and princes helpers. So just know that there's only one Cinderella. So I actually walked by the room where the different face characters were putting their makeup on and getting ready to go out. They weren't even in their costumes yet, but they were putting their makeup on. So that was really cool. So, yeah, so that was the highlights. And I want to mention too that I thought I would highly recommend it. I mean, if you love Disney as much as we do, I thought that it was just, even if it was 20 people, I would have really, really enjoyed it. I would definitely do it again. I did want to recommend that you do this, and I learned about this on the tour too. If you meet a cast member who makes your day special in some way, if you tweet out their name and send it to @WDWToday, does that sound familiar, Mike? Mm. Not the same. If you do, if you tag it @WDWToday and do #castcompliment, they will find that person if they possibly can, take a picture of them with a printout of the compliment that you gave them. So I did one for Emily and put it on Twitter, and in a few days, there's a picture of Emily with a big thank you with the compliment that I gave her saying she did a great tour. I did it for the Wild Africa Trek. Same thing. The two people who did that tour, I said were outstanding. So then there a few days later, after I posted it, the two of them were holding a sign that said Asante Sana, which is thank you very much in Swahili. Mm-hmm. And then I also went on the Behind the Seeds tour. And the person who did that was fabulous. So I did it again. And they found the person and gave them a compliment. So the cast members absolutely love it because they know that somebody has, you know, given them a high five. And
it's crazy how they find them, isn't it? It's we had that at our one. I think it was our last day at the Magic Kingdom. And this wonderful cast member got to talking to us about what we were sitting down at Pecos Bill's. Just getting it, like, you know, taking, you know, a break for a little while. And she just came up and started asking what our favorite Disney movie was. And I told her it was Flight of the Navigator and she had never heard of it before, and said she was going to look it up. And we were chatting for a little bit and she went back and she brought us these like slushies that they make there, just complimentary, and just gave it to us. And I tweeted out that, you know, was really impressed by her. I named her, and the same WDW Today came back and said, oh, she sounds wonderful. Sounds like great. And then that cast member actually tweeted to me to say, you know, it was so nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, wow, this, how did they even find these people? Like, but.
Well, I think if you give as specific information as you can, I said, you know, Emily, guest services, Emily, who did this particular tour. And I said, Danielle and Stephanie, who did Wild Africa Track. And so they'll find them if they can.
Yeah. It's cool.
But I think it's so nice. I think we meet so many really nice cast members. So it's nice. Who doesn't like getting a pat on the back?
Sure, sure.
And being told that you made somebody's day a little bit more special. So anyway.
Can I ask you a question about this
absolutely,
whole thing?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So now that we're empty nesters over here, and I'm thinking about if we're going to be going down, we might be taking trips down, like weekend trips or long weekend trips to go down. And I love the idea of doing these things, but I honestly, I have no clue how to get this going. Is there a website? Is there, how did you set these up?
So if you go to Walt Disney World's, you know, .disney.go.com and you just look up tours, you can look at all the different tours that are on there. So you click on events and tours and you can find it. But if you want to call, you do 407-WDW-TOUR, and it will tell you when they're on. And just make sure you ask them, you know, say I have an annual pass or I have Disney Vacation Club or whatever you have, and they'll give you a discount. There are a lot of discounts for this. But WDW Tours, or just go look up If you do the homepage on the Disney.go and events and tours, there's so many. And they're adding more all the time. In fact, I can't remember which one it was, but Emily said, oh, they're adding this other tour. I'm like, oh, I want to do that one too. So, you know, I think I have been going down for the last few summers. I don't know if I'm going to go for a month next year, but I do like to try to at least do one of the different tours to see things that I haven't seen before. And it's well worth it. So highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Mike, do you think you'd want to go on it?
Yes, I think that would be something interesting. I'm always looking to see if there's some places off stage I haven't been to. I've been to a lot of things. I've been very fortunate, but that would be interesting because there are a lot of things that I believe, you know, I know that I take for granted that goes on. I mean, just listening to how careful they are with the 3D glasses, I think is very commendable because they don't have to do that. But I don't know if they have to do that. I don't know if there are some laws, some theme park laws that they have to abide by. But there are a lot of things that I think that we as guests take for granted that it's really, really worthwhile to discover, like the laundry and a whole bunch of other things. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
I gotta start doing some of these. There's like so many. I'm looking on the website. It's like, wow, there's a ton going here. So
I've heard great things about the. I'm not a train person, but even I know people who aren't train people say that the train tours are really excellent too.
Yes.
So
how would you rate this, Michelle, on all of the of all the tours that you've taken? Is it one of the best? One of the, sort of the middle ground?
I think that. Gosh, I think the Backstage Magic, it was super expensive, but that was really the best. I think my second favorite is Keys to the Kingdom because, you know, you'd always heard about the Utilidors to go down there. I did that a few years ago, and that was just fabulous. I think it's an easy, quick one. It was interesting. I think it was probably my third favorite that I've done.
I think there's a tour that I think used to include as one of its stops, walking guests through the background of the Tower of Terror. I don't know if that's still around or if I almost got on a tour like that one time, and that would be one that I would be interested in. So.
Yeah, you know what? If walking around anywhere at Hollywood Studios feels like you're backstage these days. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true.
Mike, before I let you say goodbye, I do want to say that I found my little thing with everybody who went to Disneyland, and I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Cher Stiles, who did a 5K, and Kimberly Martin Johnson and her husband, who did the 5K and the half.
Congratulations to those who you've mentioned earlier in the show and the last two people. So with that, I'm going to say thank you, Michelle, for that insight. I know that you go to great lengths to bring information to our listeners, and we appreciate all the information. And you were very fortunate to have a one-on-one relationship with the tour guide, because I think that probably enabled you to get more information than you would have gotten if there had been 20 people there.
I wouldn't say we had a relationship.
Well, you know.
Yes, I did. You know. I did get a lot of attention, but yeah, no, it was great. And she was fabulous, and can't say enough about Emily. She was wonderful.
That's good. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean and for Chris Iliopoulos, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road, in the parks, and maybe in the undiscovered future world.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.